This is Edward Anderson with a message on spiritual maturity. Consider, if you will, a child after he is born. When he comes into the world as an infant, he is very helpless. He may not be able to focus his eyes to see things clearly. He certainly doesn't have good use of his hands or his arms or his legs. He's really pretty helpless. But if we follow this child as he grows, we see him maturing and changing. We see the child as he learns to focus and communicate with his eyes. We see the child as he learns to have good use of his arms and his hands, as he begins to touch things and hold things and to pick up things. We see the child begin to crawl and to move around on the floor and eventually to learn to get up and walk and then to run. The child also begins to learn how to talk and to communicate with us. All these changes are signs of physical maturity in the child. And all this time, the child is growing larger and stronger. As the child grows older, he reaches an age in which sexual maturity begins to take place, which is a part of physical maturity. We see how the girls and the boys develop differently as they gain this sexual maturity, how their sexual organs begin to change, how the boys' voices get low, how they begin to grow beards, and many other changes that take place. This usually happens in the early teenage years. These are all signs of physical maturity. We expect these changes in growth. If a child does not grow and mature physically, and occasionally we see that, it is usually a pitiful sight. They may be 15 or 20 years of age, but still have not matured physically past that of a typical 7 or 8-year-old. Let us now consider a different type of maturity, and that is emotional maturity. When a child is very young, he cries because he is hungry, or he wants to be fed, or because he wants his diaper changed, or he wants attention from his mother or his father. He learns that his demands are met very quickly whenever he cries. As he grows older, say 3 or 4 or 5, he may still cry to get what he wants. We sometimes call these crying fits temper tantrums. I have at times been in stores and seen a child walking about the store with his mother. The child sees something that he wants and he points it out to the mother. And the mother says, no, that is not something she wants him to have. But the child gets louder and begins to cry. And all of a sudden he may yank his hand away from his mother and just sit down on the floor of the store and begin to cry. Probably most of us have seen that. These are signs of emotional immaturity. As a child grows older, though, he learns that he can't have everything, and certainly not when he wants it. He learns patience. He learns to wait for things. The child learns responsibility, learns that there are things that he can and must do to take responsibility for himself. He learns to dress himself rather than to be dressed. He learns many other things. The child learns to be responsible for his actions, learns that he has caused something to happen and must take responsibility. The child learns to get along with others. Rather than constantly fighting or having his way, he learns that he must get along with others in the give and take of interpersonal relationships. The child learns how to control and to display his emotions. He no longer cries, no longer throws temper tantrums, no longer gets angry and throws things. He learns how to think and to reason and to plan. The child grows and matures emotionally, and oftentimes this emotional maturity follows that of the physical maturity. Somewhere, usually around 20 years of age, we say that a child has now become an adult. Not only is he physically mature, but he is emotionally mature and able to handle things on his own. Unlike physical maturity, we often see people older than 20 years of age who have not properly matured emotionally. For instance, we sometimes see a man who has not learned to control his anger. People treat him like a volcano ready to erupt. And sure enough, when something happens he doesn't like, he spouts off. Or we may see a woman who was spoiled as a child, expecting to receive everything she wants as an adult and crying when she doesn't get it. There are lots of instances around us of emotional immaturity in adults, and it is also sad to see. Well, I've spoken of two maturities. I've spoken of the physical maturity and emotional maturity, but of course there is another maturity that I really want to talk about, and that is spiritual maturity. We start off as Christians as babies. Do you remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night? This is recorded in John, the 3rd chapter and 2nd verse. It says, "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" Well, this sort of took Nicodemus back. He said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.'" So Jesus in the 5th verse talks about being born of water and the Spirit. We understand that being born of water is to be baptized, to rise up out of the water a new creation, a new creature. Jesus tells us that at the same time as the water birth, there is a spiritual birth. He says that we must be born spiritually. And just as there is physical maturity and there is emotional maturity, there is also spiritual maturity and growth that must take place. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the Apostle Paul describes love and how that love is the more perfect way. But he says in the 11th verse, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." And so he is describing the fact that we must grow up. But he's not just talking about the fact that he physically and emotionally grew up from a child to a man. He's talking about the spiritual maturity that each of us must experience as we become a spiritual man, so to speak. We must put away childish ways. We must put them behind us. Now, the Scripture has a number of places where it describes spiritual immaturity. The first one I would like for us to look at is in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1 through 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men?" So he is calling them spiritual babies. And what were the primary signs he was seeing there? Envy, strife, divisions. These then are evidences of spiritual immaturity. This factious spirit, this quarreling, having to have your way, being envious of other people. The second instance in Scripture is Ephesians 4 and 11 through 16. There it says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Here the Apostle Paul is describing the spiritual maturity that occurs in the church and how that God has put certain offices or roles in the church for a purpose, for preparing God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity of the Spirit and the knowledge of Christ and become perfect, or as it is better translated, mature. That we no longer be children, tossed back and forth by the waves. And notice here what he describes to us as far as immaturity, how that small children don't know who to believe. Whatever an adult tells them, that is what they believe. And if someone else tells them something different, they believe that also. The Apostle Paul was telling the Ephesians that they were that way spiritually. They were tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine, every wind of teaching, and by the cunning craftiness of men. Instead, they needed to grow up. They needed to hold on to the true teaching, to speak the truth in love, grow up and build themselves up in love. So again, he talks about love as being tied to this element of spiritual maturity. The next instance of spiritual immaturity is in the parable that Jesus gives of the sower, how that the sower went out to sow and various seed fell at various places. One of the categories of soil that the seed fell on was thorny ground. And Jesus gives the explanation of that kind of ground and the thorns that grow there. In Luke 8 and 14 he says, "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bringing no fruit to maturity. These don't produce mature spiritual fruit." Galatians 5 and 22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, how many of us are in this category of having immature fruit of the Spirit? Our spiritual characteristics, or fruit, don't mature because we are choked by life's cares or worries, riches, and pleasures. Oh, I think this verse is very powerful. It shows to us how that these things can choke us and keep us from producing mature spiritual fruit. I know that I have demonstrated spiritual immaturity in my life due to these things. Just one instance I would like to relate occurred many years ago. I was at a brother's house, and he had several boys that were about my age, and we had gone to their house and eaten a common meal with him. After the meal was over, I could tell that they wanted to discuss spiritual matters with me, and I didn't want to discuss spiritual matters. Instead, I wanted to go off and play table tennis. I'd seen a table tennis set over in the other room, and I wanted to go off and play, and I didn't want to talk about spiritual matters. I was more desirous of having fun playing table tennis than I was about spiritual matters. That was an obvious sign to me of spiritual immaturity, the desire for pleasures rather than the desire for spiritual growth, for spiritual nourishment, and to share things spiritually. I am sure each of us can relate to some time in our lives when we were motivated by our desire for pleasures or for riches, or we were caught up with worries or cares of this life. Jesus says each of these things will choke us so that we will not produce mature fruit. The next example in the Scriptures of spiritual immaturity is found in Hebrews 5, starting with verse 12. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." Let us look carefully at these scriptures. He talks about growing up and no longer needing milk, but going beyond the milk and going on to solid food. And he equates this milk to elementary teachings. Some of the elementary teachings he mentions are repentance from acts that lead to death, and faith in God, and instruction about baptisms, and laying on of hands, and resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. In many churches, it is this sort of things that are preached about over and over again. They're necessary, but they are milk. Is that the way it is in your church? We need to go beyond this. We need to get into other areas of righteousness, or areas of spiritual growth. It says here that we can be immature by what we are able to handle, the kind of food we are able to handle, just elementary teachings. We are not able to go beyond the elementary teachings. We are still in elementary school. Let's now talk about stages of spiritual maturity. We talked about stages of physical maturity and how that an infant grows up from being just an infant to being able to walk and to run. His muscles grow and sexual maturity occurs. We also talked about the emotional maturity that occurs. Let's talk about the stages of spiritual maturity. And yes, there is a scripture that, in my opinion, talks about the stages of spiritual maturity. In 2 Peter 1 and 5, the Apostle Peter says, "But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance," or patience, "and to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Back in the fifth verse, he says, "giving all diligence," or make every effort, "to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge," etc. So these are additive sorts of things. And I think it is clear that they are additive. And since they are additive, I think we should consider that these are stages of spiritual growth. We all understand that we must start off with faith. Each of us must have faith. We must believe, first of all, in God. But we must have enough trust in God that God is going to forgive us of our sins, that God is going to give us a home in heaven, or otherwise he will punish us with eternal fire in hell. We must have enough faith in these things for us to obey God, to take the steps of repenting, of confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord, and of being baptized. We must have that much faith. So we all recognize that faith is fundamental. In Hebrews 11 and 6, the writer says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So faith is primary. It's where we have to start. But we must go beyond faith. We must, as Peter says, add to our faith virtue, or goodness. In other words, the first thing after faith is that we have to start putting on good characteristics. We no longer can commit the sins that we did in the past. We have to put these sins away from us. We have to stop lying. We have to stop taking illegal drugs. We have to stop the bad mouthing of other people. We have to stop many things that we have found ourselves doing in our lives. Conversely, we must not just stop doing things, we must also add good things. When we see opportunities to do good or to help someone, we must take these opportunities. We must rush in to see how we can best help someone else. We must see what good things we can accomplish in our lives. So that is the goodness we must begin to put in our lives, getting rid of the evil and putting on the good. The next thing that we have to add after virtue is we have to add knowledge. We have to know about God. We have to know what is right and what is wrong. We have to know what God expects from us. We have to understand about God. We gain this by reading the Scriptures, by understanding and reading and studying God's Word. This is an area of spiritual growth that we must have. We must gain this knowledge that we must have to understand God and what He expects from us. And certainly an infant in Christ doesn't know and must grow up by learning and understanding what God wants and expects in his life. So this is the next stage of spiritual growth. And then to that we must add temperance, or self-control. And oh, how important this is. Many of us know what is right and wrong. We have the knowledge, but we lack the self-control to put it into effect in our lives. And that is why self-control, or temperance, is the next stage that must occur in our spiritual growth. we must learn to control ourselves. If we are not supposed to eat that piece of chocolate cake, then don't eat it. If we're not supposed to say something because it might hurt someone else, then don't say it. If we're not supposed to go places that are of ill repute, if we're not supposed to do something to someone because it may harm them, then we don't do it. And conversely, if we are supposed to do something, if God expects good things from us, we have the amount of self-control to do it. So self-control is applying what we know we should do or not do in our lives. And that is a stage of spiritual maturity. One area of special concern is that of controlling the tongue. In James 3 and 2, James says, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect or mature man, able also to bridle the whole body." He likens the tongue to the rudder on a ship, and how that the rudder steers the ship wherever it goes, and how that we should be able to control our tongues, and if we do so, we are a mature person. It is indicative of the fact that we have self-control. We can control ourselves. Not only control what others can see on the outside of us, our speaking and our actions, but also our thinking, what is inside of us. If we are able to control our tongue, that is indicative that we can control our thinking, that we would not even think on evil things. We would think on good things. So self-control is an area of spiritual growth that we must go through. The next area is patience or perseverance. Patience oftentimes implies to us that we wait for something until we get it. Perseverance implies that we keep sticking in there in spite of tribulations and troubles. James 1:4 says, "But let patience," or perseverance, "have its perfect work, that you may be perfect," that is, mature, "and complete, lacking nothing." So perseverance is the stick-to-itiveness to stay in there to the very end. Think of a runner. If a runner is running a race and after a while he says, "Well, I've run well enough and I'm leading the race, but I'm tired now and I think it is time to rest," that runner is not going to win the race if he stops and rests at that stage. Perseverance for that runner would be to stick in there and stay to the very end so that he can finish that race and win the prize. And that is true with us as Christians. We must learn the stick-to-itiveness of staying in there to the very end until we achieve the crown of righteousness which is prepared for us. So this is the characteristic of perseverance that we must add to self-control. Then Peter says to add this spiritual item called godliness. Godliness. What is godliness? Well, it is obviously being like God. But what does it mean to be like God? Does it mean that we have the power of God? Does it mean that we are able to do miracles like God? No. Instead, I think it is that we have the characteristics of God. Since Jesus was one with God, it would be being like Jesus. We would have the characteristics of love, of mercy, of the spiritual characteristics of joy, of caring for other people, that we would say things as Jesus or God would say things. We would find ourselves going to places as God would go to places, as Jesus would go to places. That we could almost put ourselves in Jesus' place and ask, what would he do in this situation? Whatever he would do, that is what we would be doing. We wouldn't be ashamed of anything that we are doing because we are godlike. We are just like God. And can you see the level of spiritual maturity that it takes to be like God? And yes, that is why we must attain to that level of spiritual maturity so that we are like God. But Peter doesn't stop here. He goes on. The next one is brotherly kindness. It literally means to be kind to your brother. Rather than cutting down our brother, saying cute little remarks with barbs on them that hurt, we are to be kind to our brother. We are to be kind to our sister. We do things out of kindness toward them, and they see us as kind people. Now, if it were me, I wouldn't have put this way at the end of the list. I would have put it up close to the front. But Peter, in his inspiration from God, put it at this stage. As we grow spiritually, brotherly kindness is one of those things we must add, and we find it in this list toward the end. But the fact that we find it on the list shows that it is important. The last characteristic that he tells us to add is charity or love. I think that this is consistent with what we find in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, where we are told that we can have faith to remove mountains, or we can do great works, or do great sacrifices, but if we don't have love, it means nothing. It is to be the sign of true maturity when we have love and demonstrate this love in our lives. Now, I don't want to imply that we have to wait to have all of the preceding characteristics before we have love. Just as a child physically or emotionally has some characteristics of adult at times, he has partial mastery of some characteristics, but not complete mastery. Even so, we also may have some characteristics of love, but we probably will not attain into the full measure of love until we have built the foundation of these other characteristics in our lives. And so I see these eight characteristics as building stones, built one upon the other. If we miss one of these building stones, then our structure of spiritual growth may not be as it should be. You know, we are told that a child, if he does not learn to crawl first before he walks, can be handicapped later in life and not able to read very well. And so it may very well be that we should add these spiritual characteristics and emphasize them in the order given. For example, if we do not have virtue or goodness, if we have sin in our lives, say sexual immorality hidden in our lives, we will not be able to go on to spiritual maturity in other areas. Another example may be that we lack self-control in some area of our lives. How can we lack self-control and go on to godliness and be like God? And so I suggest that we need to build these characteristics and work on each of these characteristics in turn in our lives. Add them, as Peter says, so that we can grow to spiritual maturity. But I'd like to consider for a moment before we close that spiritual growth and adding these characteristics is not just one-dimensional. It is two-dimensional. We also have to grow within each of these characteristics. For instance, we have to grow in faith. When we start off as a Christian, our faith may be very infantile, very simplistic. We just believe in God. We believe in heaven. We believe in the forgiveness of our sins. But as we grow in faith, we begin to learn to pray to God. We learn to ask Him for things. We learn to trust in God until our spiritual maturity in faith comes to the stage where we trust totally in God. In all that we do, we walk by faith. We live by faith. And we trust in God for everything. We depend upon God for leading and guiding us in everything that we do in our lives. That is a mature faith that we come to. It is not a faith that we start off with when we are infants in Christ. It is a faith that we grow into. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." So I understand that there comes a spiritual maturity in faith in which we trust in God with all of our hearts and lean on Him totally and depend upon Him totally. And that is the kind of faith God wants us to have. It is a mature faith. And so it is with other characteristics. We start off in self-control with telling ourselves to stop committing sins. But we must grow up to a complete self-control and not just have control of what we allow ourselves to see from the outside. We need to control our thoughts, what our thoughts are on, that our thoughts are on good things and not upon the things of the world. So we should not just have self-control of our outward actions, but also of our thoughts and our inward being. And then, of course, our actions will flow from our inward control of our thoughts. That would be a greater level of spiritual maturity in self-control. I believe that we still have a level of love early in our spiritual growth, but as we grow and mature spiritually, this level of love grows also, so that we grow to have a complete love in which everything in our lives is controlled or motivated by our love for God and our love for our fellow man. And that is a level of spiritual maturity and love that God wants us to finally attain to. In conclusion, let's grow up. Let's grow up to be strong, healthy, spiritual children of God so that we become spiritual adults and we grow up to be the kind of people that He wants us to be. Let us not get stuck as spiritual infants. Remember, some of the areas of spiritual infancy that were described were we have trouble with jealousy, trouble with quarreling, tossed about from lack of knowledge of God's will for us, caught up in life's worries, riches, and pleasures, or still having problems with unrighteousness. Let's grow up spiritually. concentrate on growing up so that we may be a glorious, mature Christian in the sight of God.